It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Hello, America. Hello. The First Lady and I wish each and every one of you a happy Independence Day on this truly historic 4th of July. Today we come together as one nation with this very special salute to America. We celebrate our history, our people, and the heroes who proudly defend our flag, the brave men and women of the United States military. We are pleased to have with us Vice President Mike Pence and his wonderful wife, Karen. We're also joined by many hardworking members of Congress, Acting Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, and many other members of my cabinet, and also the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joe Dunford. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. You know what? I'm going to interrupt that. But actually, that was the president's celebration on the 4th of July. It was Salute to America. And I'm thinking that a lot of you might not have seen it. Sandy Rios, by the way, on this Monday after the 4th of July, I hope you had a wonderful time away with your family, but also a time to just reflect on this great country. And my husband and I were away, and we were not able to get cable or network television. And so we were scrambling we wanted to see what was going to happen with the president's commemoration, the Salute to America, because he received so much criticism for it. How dare he spend all of that money from the Park District, the left told us, and the tanks? How dare he that he's just trying to establish himself as some sort of a military dictator? And how dare he use funds from the Park District to do a political speech? And how dare and how dare and how dare? So we were wondering how that would go. And so we had to scramble to even find it. It was only covered, I think, by Fox News and by C-SPAN. So I don't know if you saw it or not, but it is well worth your while to see it. First of all, there were endless, as far as you could see, people packed by the well, the water there below the Lincoln Memorial. The president was on a stage that was built on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, which is actually one of our favorite spots in Washington, D.C. Love that place. Ride our bikes there, go up and just look at the statue and reread the sayings. And it's always busy with people from all over the world. So that's where the stage was. There were lots of people who I recognized actually in the audience behind the president who are strong supporters of his. But the people on the other side down by the basin that separates the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Memorial, as far as the eye could see, it was packed with people. And that was pretty remarkable because it rained. It rained and rained and rained. And a lot of people had to, you know, run for cover, but they stayed. They were ragged looking, but they stood and were so enthusiastic, stayed for the whole thing. And you might not know that, you know, you just might not know that. So I feel like I'm compelled to tell you that. By the way, we'll put the link to this event on our Facebook page so that you can watch it, because the president really gave a stirring speech. At the beginning, he starts out, you know, he can be sort of labored when he's trying to read, but when he wound up, he really wound up big time. And it was a beautiful, really celebration of America, which is what he had promised. Let me just tell you kind of what he did. He talked about the great moments of history of this country. He talked about our founders. He talked about the sacrifice they made, how they pledged their lives and their fortunes, which, of course, I talked about last week, too, because it needs to be talked about. He talked about John Paul Jones and the Battle of 1812. He talked about famous inventors, Alexander Graham Bell and the telephone and Thomas Edison and the Wright brothers and flight. He did then a tribute to every single branch of service, one at a time. And he did it by telling wonderful stories of heroism in each branch of service, very personal stories of people who had served in that branch and the things that they had accomplished, followed by the U.S. Army band playing the theme of that particular branch, whether it was a Wild Blue Yonder for the Air Force or the Caissons Go Rolling Along for the Army. And the music was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. One of the most beautiful things about being in D.C. is having the benefit of all the musicians in every branch of service. They attract some of the best of the best. It's just astounding. And singing and playing, it's just beautiful. And no one plays and sings like they do. These wonderful patriotic things. And so they played the anthems. And as they did that, there were aircraft from each branch of service flying over. There were the Air Force's F-22 Raptors, the B-2 Stealth Bomber, the Navy's F-18 Super Hornets, and the Army's Apache helicopters. And he did that it was orchestrated beautifully. It really and truly was. And as a producer myself of many, many programs and big shows, really big shoes through my lifetime, I really appreciated that. And it was not affectation. It was really, truly a celebration of our country. He challenged us to be patriotic. He challenged our young people to serve their country through the military. And here's just another little excerpt of some of the things he said. Let's listen.
The people who defeated a tyrant, crossed a continent, harnessed science, took to the skies and soared into the heavens, because we will never forget that we are Americans and the future belongs to us. The future belongs to the brave, the strong, the proud, and the free. We are one people chasing one dream and one magnificent destiny. We all share the same heroes, the same home, the same heart, and we are all made by the same Almighty God.
From
the banks of the Chesapeake.
Okay, well, you can get the gist of it. And so, and of course, his speech was interrupted several times by chants of USA, USA, and the crowd was so large, and of course, it was stretched back so far, there was an echo, so they weren't all in unison, or not all in unison. It was just USA, USA, USA. It was really something. I think you would have loved it, and I would also say highly, highly commend to you, I've said this before, but PBS has every year what's called the Capitol Fourth. I've been there on more than one occasion. I was not there this year, but I wish I had been, where thousands of people sit on the lawn of the Capitol and up the steps of the Capitol, and a stage is set so that you can see the Washington Monument in the background. And the PBS then brings in all of these entertainers from around the country. And there are people from all over the country, and it is the most fun celebration of America you can imagine. I have been there in the past when PBS, whoever was producing, obviously had a political bent that was not mine, and it really was very upsetting. But I have to tell you, this year, it was phenomenal, and it ended with the longest, most beautiful fireworks you have ever seen, and we will put that link on our Facebook page, too. If you are discouraged about this country, if you're discouraged and you think the left is the strongest, loudest voice, and that those of us that love our country are just diminished and have no voice, then you need to watch that. Watch both of them. You will be so encouraged. But, of course, there's another side of the story to tell, and that is that Antifa made their way into town, into D.C., which was interesting to me because, you know, they were in Portland, last week, I guess, or two, maybe it was 10 days or so ago. And they beat up that journalist who we talked about, Andy Ngo, from Quillette, beat him mercilessly and stole his camera. We all know Antifa. They're anti-fascist, of course. The fact that they act just like fascists, Nazi fascists, has nothing to do with it. They tell us that they are against us. We are the fascists, so we must be beaten mercilessly, even though we're just wearing hats they don't like, that are red, or waving flags they don't like. It's just an amazing thing. They're allowed to wear masks, which is ridiculous. So you know that in Oregon, the mayor there, Wheeler, did nothing to stop the protesters. And he told the police, he's also the police commissioner, to kind of stand down. The police association there, by the way, issued a statement, very frustrated by the way they were hamstrung in that situation. And so we saw what happened on the streets of Portland. So what happened in D.C.? When Antifa showed up for the 4th of July, well, I'll tell you what happened. The D.C. police treated them appropriately, kept them in their place, held them in check. You can see videos of it. Daily Caller has a piece on this. And you would be proud of the Capitol Police because they held the line and did not look like really ridiculous in the face of these really pajama boys who have masks on. That's really what it amounts to from my perspective. And one incident that happened in front of the White House was that some communist protesters, which is, I would say, Antifa, their cousins, they had T-shirts on and they're shouting, America was never great. Imagine a world without America. How wonderful that would be, et cetera, et cetera. They burned the American flag twice right in front of the White House. Well, the wonderful thing that you see in part of the coverage of this is that a U.S. Marine, a former Marine, runs in and grabs the burning flag, grabs it while it's burning and flaming, pulls it away, stomps on it, blows on it, hangs it, wraps it up in a tight ball, and then runs for the circle of the. He doesn't hit them; he just runs with his body, and he sort of flicks the flag at each one of them in anger. It's just the bravery picking up that burning flag and saying, you know, basically, you will not do this, and then the protesters form a circle with their backs to each other, chanting, you know, America was never great. It's just, but they did not get the best of that Marine. And the man organizing it was duly arrested by the Capitol Police. So that's what happened. And by the way, you know, we talked a lot last week about Facebook issuing their new policy about how they're going to step up the plate and not allow these icky groups on their Facebook page to form or to organize. Remember that they also, I'm confident, cooperated in revealing that secret or private Facebook group by border agents and then revealed it, revealed all the comments, made it public. But, you know, interestingly enough, probably what we didn't know was that Facebook is happy to host Antifa. There is one group of Antifa that has 4,500 members. There's another one called Antifa United that has over 18,000 people. But Facebook is just fine with that. They're just fine with that. But some of us are calling them out. And so I just wanted you to know that some of us are demanding that Facebook do something about that. And by the way, Hans von Spakovsky has a great article in which he points out federal regulations that should be sufficient to stop Antifa. And he is encouraging the U.S. Justice Department to step in to do something. He talks about U.S. Code 241 prohibits conspiracies to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in the exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Moreover, that same law prohibits individuals from going in disguise on the highway or on the premises of another with intent to prevent or hinder his free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege so secured. There's a lot more to it. Hans actually says there are a couple of other statutes, and he actually thinks that Sandy Ngo has grounds for a lawsuit in addition to that. So I'm hoping that this Justice Department will, in fact, step in and do something, and I kind of think they will. I have no inside information on that. It's just that based on their current performance, which I'm going to get to in a second, some interesting things are taking place led by the Justice Department that you're going to be hearing about, so stay tuned. All right, it's good to be back. Nice to be rested, and what a privilege to have celebrated this great country. And Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as we talk about the challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 8th through 10th to Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. The retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. Our hosts will be Pastor Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries, and co-host of Exploring the Word on AFR, and his wife, Jan. And our special speakers will be J.J. Jasper and Abraham Hamilton III. Lodging, meals, and materials are included in your registration. But hurry, space is limited. Register today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 300. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or at repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo is our country's 70th Secretary of State, as well as a former congressman and former director of the CIA. 1 Timothy 3:2 reminds us of the importance of good leadership. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Secretary Pompeo as he leads our State Department. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A story about party parity. More next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name's Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
From O'Fallon, Missouri, a controversy over a lesbian wedding party. The owners of Madison's Cafe are facing a media firestorm after they declined to host a rehearsal dinner for a same-sex wedding. Mindy Rackley and Kendall Brown said they were told by someone at the restaurant that same-sex weddings conflicted with the restaurant's values. Now, the owners have yet to make any public comments, but the lesbian couple made a beeline for the mainstream media, telling KMOV television they were appalled and felt less than human. They accused the cafe of disrespecting their relationship. Madison's is not the first business to deny service that conflicts with their values. Disney and Netflix threatened to leave Georgia over the state's heartbeat law. So if it's okay for Disney to have freedom of conscience and association, why is it not okay for a Christian business owner? I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Helped on by Mewis to Lavelle. The game's opening up. Rose Lavelle. Lovely run. Great goal. Brilliant goal. Rose Lavelle might have won the World Cup for the United States with a fantastic goal. The United States 2, the Netherlands 0. For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world, and for the very first time they've done it on European soil. It is finished at the Stade de Lyon in the final in victory and joy for the United States.
All right, so there you go. That's what happened yesterday. Victory for the U.S. women's soccer team. Yeah, joy for some. But let's just talk about this for a second. They defeated the Netherlands, as the announcer said. Megan Rapinoe, who's the captain of the team, is the one who's most famous, the one they show all the time, the one who's the loudest, the one who always has her tongue sticking out, I notice. Made one of the final, she made a penalty kick in the 61st minute, and Rose Lavelle, we don't hear, there are other players on the team, I think. Rose Lavelle is one of them. She scored this in the 69th minute, which gave them the win. And so, Katie, Kelly O'Hara is one of the players. She's featured in this piece I'm reading from Fox News. She's holding up the American flag and smiling. You know, it makes me wonder if everyone on the team is as anti-flag, anti-Donald Trump as Megan Rapinoe. But all we hear of is that. That's all we hear. We hear about how wonderful lesbianism is. We hear from her gay girlfriend who wrote an article said that said something about the president, I got to get this exactly. I'm doing it out of the order I was going to tell you. She wrote this article that was printed. She said the president, all right, I'll get to that in a second because I have about, 20 sheets of paper on this issue that I want to share with you, bits of each of them. So just give me a second. So Megan Rapinoe is the champion. She's, of course, the lesbian player who's out and proud. And that's been her a moniker. I don't understand that. I don't understand why that's such a thrill for people. You know, and of course she is complaining, and maybe rightfully so in this, that the men's soccer teams are getting a lot more money than the women's soccer teams. And so immediately the fans in the stands began to chant equal pay, which seems strange to me that you are in at a world event. Like it would be at the Olympics, your sport that you're watching, whether it's skiing or whatever, and you, instead of cheering for your country, you start chanting equal pay. It's just odd. Then, of course, there's this shot with Greg Palcott, who's doing a hit for Fox, and in the background, he's in a sports bar. There are all these women. It's women in the background. I guess there are a couple of men now that I think about that. And they, as Greg is giving his pleasant, cheerful coverage of the event and describing the joy of the people in the bar, they turn and start shouting, blank Trump, blank Trump. So that's what these cheerful fans are up to. I don't get that. I really don't. It's just it's a real blend of something perverse for something that should be great. Barack Obama said, incredible team that's always pushing themselves and the rest of us to be even better. Love this team, which always reminds me that Barack Obama, when he even was a senator in Illinois, never saw an LGBT cause he didn't cheer. Never. He's an avid fan of anything that is gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual. Elizabeth Warren, your persistence on and off the field inspires girls and women everywhere. Kirsten Gillibrand, you make us so proud on and off the field. And John Kasich, had so much fun watching with my daughter today. And that brings me to a point. I discussed this, well, at least in part, went back and forth in a few texts with a friend of mine who's a very good athlete and has a family who are all the athletes, a lot of girls and guys. And we haven't had a chance to really land the plane on this, but my question was, how do you explain this to your kids? You love sports. You are watching them all the time. You have athletes, girls that love sports, and here they are watching Megan Rapinoe. You see her with her tongue out in some sort of a. I just can't think that that's innocent. I can't. I'm sorry. It's just degrading. It's degrading. And so, how do you explain that to your girls? You just go rah rah. They're good athletes. Sir, how do you do that? How do you do that? So New York City is going to be having a big celebration. And, of course, Megan Rapinoe made news, several weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, I'm not sure, where she said she would not go to the White House if she were invited. And President Trump basically tweeted back, you know, don't be making a statement like, you got to win first before you can make it a statement like that. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez chimed in and invited her to a tour of the White to the U.S. House of Representatives, and Megan Rapinoe said, consider it done. So we know that she loves Ocasio-Cortez. Now, at the same time, Megan Rapinoe tells us what a patriot she is. She loves this country. She's telling us this. She's written a whole treatise here that says, I think that I'm particularly and uniquely and very deeply American. If you want to talk about the ideals that we stand for, the song and the anthem, and what we were founded on, I think I'm extremely American. I think for the detractors, I would have them look hard into what I'm actually saying. the actions that I'm doing. Maybe you don't agree with every single way that I do, and it can be discussed. I know that I'm not perfect, but I think that I stand for honesty and for truth and for wanting to have the conversation. Looking at the country honestly and saying, yes, we are a great country, and there are many things that are so amazing, and I feel very fortunate to be in this country. I would never be able to do this in a lot of other places. But also, that doesn't mean that we can't get better. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't always strive to be better. I think that this country was founded on a lot of good ideals, but it was founded on slavery. And I think we just need to be really honest about that and be really open in talking about that so we can reconcile that and hopefully move forward and make this country better for everyone. There are so many things to respond to in that, but I just wanted you to hear her words. This is what I would say if I had her ear. I'd say, Megan, if you love America, don't kneel during the anthem. Don't show such disrespect. Your vulgar language, denigrating your president. You can disagree with him. You can have disagreements with the country without being so disrespectful. You need to disagree respectfully, not with disrespect. She's a terrible example to young women. And so, she first kneeled about the anthem in 2016. In solidarity with Colin Kaepernick's protest against racial injustice and police brutality. And that brings me to another article. You know, this was, the nephew of Martin Luther King, the niece of Martin Luther King, Alveda King, who's a friend of mine, whose name escaped me for the moment. She was interviewed about the Betsy Ross flag and Colin Kaepernick complaining about it. And she said, I'm not sure Brother Kaepernick even totally understands who Betsy Ross is. It's kind of unfortunate that we're fighting over sneakers when we should be celebrating living in the best country on the planet. And that's kind of what another point I want to make here. You know, Americans have almost entirely forgotten their history. And I think Colin Kaepernick and Megan Rapinoe are examples of that. There are other things at play in them, no question about it. Colin has a Muslim girlfriend who's very hostile to the country, at least he did have when he first started this. And Megan Rapinoe, of course, is all Rapinoe'd up in her lesbianism. I would say she champions lesbianism. She's not championing her country. She's championing her sexual preference, her sexual acts. That's what she's championing more than her country, whether she realizes it or not. But Daily Signal had a piece that made this observation. Under tyrannical systems, it matters little if the people are informed about political life. Autocrats make decisions for the people, whether they like it or not. But in our republic, we rely on the informed decision-making of citizens to judge policies and the leaders who will implement them. According to a recently released survey, Americans are woefully uneducated about the most basic facts of our history, to the point where most couldn't even pass a basic citizenship test. It goes on to say that one in three Americans can actually pass the U.S. citizenship test, which is very basic questions about history and how the system of government works. Passing, by the way, on that test only requires 60%, and still one in three Americans could actually pass it. And it goes on to say, to list some of the embarrassing answers given on questions by Americans. 72% of respondents either incorrectly identified or were unsure which states comprised the original 13 colonies. Only 24% could correctly identify one thing Benjamin Franklin was famous for, with 37% believing that Benjamin Franklin invented the light bulb. Only 24% knew the correct answer as to why the colonists fought the British. 12% incorrectly thought World War II General Dwight David Eisenhower led troops in the Civil War, while 6% thought he was a Vietnam War general. While most knew the cause of the Cold War, 2% said it was climate change. So I'm just saying, this is part of the problem. This is part of the problem. These people raised in our country, Megan is what, 30? She's in her mid-30s. And Colin Kaepernick is probably not that old, but they are products of American public school. They have no idea. They have no idea what they're talking about. And so the president did tweet congratulations to her. And what did these soccer publications lead with? It took 2 hours for Trump's Twitter account to acknowledge that the U.S. women had won the World Cup, which that's what they led with. The president tweeted, "Congratulations to the U.S. women's soccer team on winning the World Cup. Great and exciting play. America is proud of you." And that their headline was, "It took 2 hours." So, you know, you think maybe that the leader of the free world might have something else on his mind besides the U.S. women's soccer team championship? You think he might be doing something else, or have some other, like Iran, you know, enhancing their uranium deposits and getting ready to develop their nuclear weapon, which was big news over the weekend? I don't know. So that's kind of the story. I just want to end with this thought. I do think that what's happening with Meghan is that it's not, she's proud. People are saying her civil disobedience is making her a great American. I'd say it's not civil disobedience. It's rebellion. It's defiance. And it is championing her sexual act, not her country. And so that's my personal opinion about it. So we'll see. It's going to be in the news a lot. She's going to be around for a long time. I wanted to... All right, so I mentioned to you earlier, just kind of teased, that there are things happening at the Justice Department in regard to, remember that there's going to be testimony by Robert Mueller next week, I think it is, not this week, but next week, which makes this comment by Joe Biden, who is still leading in the polls of the Democratic candidates, pretty interesting. Remember that all of this stuff that happened when Barack Obama was president, leading up to the time when Donald Trump was president. This whole notion of Russian collusion. The story started when Barack Obama was president. Remember, at the last minute, he expelled all these Russians and made, you know, a lot of bluster without really doing anything. Do you remember that? And it was under his watch. I told you it was Jay Johnson who first said the Russians are interfering in our elections. And I've told you that was stunning to me because it came from nowhere. He's the first person I ever heard say that. So that made this comment by Joe Biden really interesting. Let's listen.
Look at what's happening with Putin. While Putin is trying to undo our elections, he is undoing elections in Europe. Look what's happened in Hungary. Look what's happened in Poland. Look what's happened in Moldova. Look what's happening. You think that would have happened on my watch or Barack's watch? You can't answer that, but I promise you it wouldn't have. And it didn't.
Oh, except it did. If it happened, it happened under their watch. I mean, this is really bizarre. I think we're going to jump on in and play this next one, because this is Joe Biden responding to questions about President Donald Trump. And here's what he has to say. Clip 10.
I'm looking forward to this, man. You walk behind me in a debate. Come here, man. No, you think you know me too well. I mean, the idea that I'd be intimidated by Donald Trump, he's the bully that I knew my whole life. He's the bully that I've always stood up to. He's the bully I used to make fun when I was a kid in a stutter and I'd smack them in the mouth. Look, this is not. But I think the American people want a president who has some dignity, who has a value set, who is actually trying to restore the soul of this country. So when they turn on the television, they look up and their kids say, I want to be like that guy or that woman.
Okay, he thinks the Americans want, Joe Biden thinks, a president who has dignity. Like him, he has so much dignity and a value set, he says. Of course, his value set changes every day, maybe every 24 hours. He is not for open borders, then he's for open borders. He's not for universal health care, then he is for universal health care. He is not for integration through busing, and then now he is for it. It's just he's really got a value set. It's just a value set that changes every 24 hours. Joe Biden is coming down on the polls. Kamala Harris is giving him a run for his money. Of course, her value set changes too. So this will be interesting, but she is more able to articulate. And she claims she's a black female. She's Indian and Jamaican. I think her Jamaican father might argue that she's not an American black. He's been pretty critical of his own daughter, which is pretty amazing. So that's how this is coming out on this particular day. More to come. When we come back, I want to update on you on Immigration Plus. I want to play the ending of President Trump's celebration. I don't want you to miss that, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Statistics show that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and to commit crime. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. Yet the percentage of children born to fatherless homes has skyrocketed in America. As of 2015, 25% of white, 53% of Hispanic, and 73% of black babies are born into fatherless homes. While scripture teaches that the weight of raising children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord falls upon fathers, seems like we need a movement that says fatherhood matters.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
This is Pastor Jim Scudder, Jr. for In Grace Radio. We're excited to announce that we're now on American Family Radio every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time. You'll want to join us for In Grace because we're going to open up the Word of God, preach it, and teach it. And we're going to bring you some pretty interesting programming from the Grand Canyon to Under the Water in Key Largo, even the Ark in Northern Kentucky. Join us this Sunday at 8:30.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Back when I was fresh out of college, I played quite a bit of pickup basketball. One of the guys who was part of our crew was a missionary who had lived all over the world. We were talking one day about campus unrest and the students who blamed America for the world's ills. He said to me, "You know, I've noticed that the people who hate America haven't lived anywhere else. Today's Americans are the most privileged citizens in human history. As America enjoys unparalleled prosperity and opportunity and the finest constitution in human history, the lack of gratitude to God for what He has given us here is appalling. Now that liberty is something we must fight for and must defend every day because there are people even right here among us who want to take it away. So let's enjoy our freedom and protect it for everyone."
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. What were people thinking as evidence accumulated that Nazi Germany was exterminating 6 million Jews and others? Apparently, they were thinking what many of us are now, as 245 million Christians are being brutally persecuted in our time. Until the greatest generation went to war to liberate Europe and ended the Holocaust, many here and elsewhere told themselves things like, "It's not happening," or, "If it is, it's none of our business. It can't be as bad as some are claiming, and the problem will go away if we don't get involved in it." Sound familiar? On Wednesday, people who reject such excuses will gather in 15 cities across America. Please visit religiousfreedomrally.org. That's religiousfreedomrally.org to join us in learning the truth about the genocide of Christians occurring on our watch and the practical things we can and must do to help. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Attorney General William Barr recently testified that he believed the report into alleged surveillance abuse of Trump campaign aide Carter Page would be ready this spring.
I expect that that will be complete in probably in May or June.
But multiple sources tell Fox the timeline has slipped for a variety of reasons. Justice Department Inspector General Michael E. Horowitz recently became aware of new evidence about a senior State Department official's contact in mid-October 2016 with former British spy and anti-Trump dossier author Christopher Steele. This deal timeline matters because days before the presidential election, the FBI and Justice Department used Steele's unverified research, paid for by Democrats, as part of their case to secure the Page surveillance warrant from the National Security or FISA court. Sources familiar with the matter said some key witnesses Horowitz wanted to talk to early in the case agreed at the 11th hour, and at least one witness who does not work for the FBI or DOJ began cooperating after Barr ordered Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham to launch a separate and broader investigation into the FBI Russia probe's origins. Fox was told recent developments have required some witnesses to be re-interviewed to deconflict accounts.
Like any investigation, you talk to one person, they give you a lead to talk to another person, then something that person tells you sends you back to the first person. And so it can be a very extensive, exhaustive process.
Horowitz and his office declined comment. But last year, Horowitz testified the FISA investigation would take at least as long as his team's review of the FBI and DOJ's handling of the Clinton email case.
Wouldn't surprise me if we're in that million plus range again of documents. The last review, as you know, took us about, 16 months?
The FISA investigation involves highly classified records as well as sources and methods. The final report is subject to a classification review by the FBI and the Justice Department. Under a worst case scenario, that review itself could take weeks.
All right, so the bottom line of that is that even though the story about the investigation into what happened and how President Trump was harassed mercilessly, accused of being a traitor, spied on his family, his campaign, by national security agencies, including the FBI, how the FISA court, which is supposed to be impeccable and beyond reproach, was corrupted by the FBI. That's gone quiet, at least for now, but it's not quiet. And that's the point. We were waiting for the Inspector General's report, and now, as Catherine explained, some one or more persons have come forward to testify. Basically, that means that they feel like probably the wheels are coming off the bus of their stories, and they're going to have to get in there and scramble and cooperate before the shoe drops on them, the other shoe drops. So I think that's what's happening. Plus, we're hearing that Christopher Steele is actually, for the first time, cooperating with the investigation, and sources are saying for the New York Times, and they have good sources for this inside stuff, that Christopher Steele is worried that the FBI is going to drop the bomb on him. And so now he may be talking. So it's interesting. It's going to get more interesting. Now, on a not a lighter note, but just a different note, many of you who watch Fox see Ed Henry. He fills in. He's a great reporter. He was the White House reporter for a long time. He fills in now for Chris Wallace and others. He's just a great guy in every way. He really is. But when these reporters, you know, give us the news, we often forget that they have private lives, but they do. And Ed Henry has a sister who has a very serious liver disease. It's a degenerative disease. It's hereditary. It's his younger sister. And he was on, while we were all taking our break, he was on the set of Fox and Friends, and I just wanted you to hear how this sounded, because it's, I didn't want you to miss this. So let's listen. This is Ed Henry on Fox News.
Okay, I don't know that song either, which is probably good.
That might be helpful.
Right. So, I'm going to donate part of my liver on Tuesday.
Wow.
Ed, yeah. So for our viewers...
Yeah.
You've had a heavy heart for a while, and rightfully so. Your sister Colleen has a liver disorder, and you, as her brother, have decided to step up and donate a portion of your.
Yeah, this has been a long journey, and it's good to talk about it. It's just hard to. I hope it helps people, because there's a lot of people who need organ donations.
A lot of people probably going through exactly what you're going through right now, and you sharing the story is going to make a huge difference. And I give you huge kudos for this, Ed. Honestly, it's really hard to do.
That was a few days ago, and.
I gotta
say, she was really happy there. And that's all I want to do is make her and give her a little life.
Your sister Colleen is 2 years younger than you. No, listen, Ed told us I want to say a couple of weeks ago we found out about this. And watching your heart in this process, the emotional connection you have to your sister. Listen, you're getting emotional now for all the right reasons. I mean, you're saving. Yeah. Hopefully saving a life.
Well, now that I've caught my breath, my parents have been great. My wife's been great. My kids are strong beyond their years. I can't forget to say that Suzanne Scott, our CEO, You know, it's funny, you feel a burden and then you feel like it's lifted when people around you help you. Jay Wallace, our president, Lauren Peterson as well, one of our great executives. They were asking me to do all kinds of things, like go to the debates in Miami and do these things, and you want to do your job, but you're running out to the hospital, take another blood test. And I finally just said, Suzanne, I can't do this. Yeah. And she was like, go, help your sister. Yeah. Everybody at Fox. And they're amazing.
Well, that's the first part of it. It's a lot longer than that, but it's just very moving. Again, his little sister has the degenerative liver disease, and so he's donating part of his liver, I think two-thirds of his liver, to her. And then he went on to explain that the liver regenerates, which I did not know. And so that's a wonderful thing, but it's a major surgery for him and, of course, a major surgery for his little sister, who he loves so much. So we need to pray for Ed. That's happening this week, maybe right now, even as we speak. I'm not sure the timeline, but we need to pray for him, and that's why he won't be on the air for a while. Pray for him and his sister. It's just moving, isn't it? Just moving. Sometimes these people feel like family to us because they come into our homes each night and talk to us, and it's time for us to step up to the plate and be family to them and pray for them. It reminded me very much of about 10 years ago. I was on, it was 10 years ago, almost exactly. Juan Williams was hosting, I think, for Bill O'Reilly, and I was his guest that night. And I don't even recall the topic of the discussion. I have no idea. But towards the end of our time together, Juan paused to tell people that my daughter Sasha had just died, and they showed her picture up on the screen. And Juan then asked me about Sasha and what happened, and asked me about her life a bit. And I had a chance to express my love for her and what had happened as her mother. And then, of course, at the time, I was on Fox often, and people knew who I was. And it was just, it meant so much. It just meant so much. It's just a very tender memory for me. So it has been 10 years. It'll be 10 years, July 18th, when Sasha passed away. And so Ed's situation reminded me of my own situation, and I thought of it very fondly. I want to go back for the end of the show today. I want to go back to President Trump's celebration of America at the Lincoln Memorial on the 4th of July. He basically ended the program by saying this. This is clip 3.
So once more, to every citizen throughout our land, have a glorious Independence Day. Have a great 4th of July. I want to thank the Army Band, the National Park Service, the Interior Department, the incredible pilots overhead, and those who are making possible the amazing fireworks display later this evening. Now, as the band plays the Battle Hymn of the Republic, I invite the First Lady, Vice President, and Mrs. Pence, the service secretaries and military leaders to join me on stage for one more salute to America by the famous, incredible, talented Blue Angels. God bless you. God bless the military. And God bless America. Happy 4th of July.
So that was his final statement. And in a second, I want you to hear the rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It was just beautiful. We're going to listen to the entire thing. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me as he died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free while God is marching on. That is the way it ended. I mean, think about that. Christ is preached. Christ was preached on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial on 4th of July, thanks to President Trump, maybe in ways he didn't even know. But the Battle Hymn of the Republic is all about the faith of the Civil War soldiers. I can see his righteous sentence by the dim and glaring lamps. In other words, the soldiers reading their Bibles around these campfires. That's the writer of this song telling this story. And this is what it sounded like. We're going to end the show with this. This is Sandy Rios, and I want you to just enjoy it. Let's listen. The Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you. The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.